Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Deborah Cobray.
So I have a story to tell you because my assignment is to do a devotion, and I'm probably already late because we added a song. But I want to tell you a story. And to tell you the story, I have to give you a little bit of Bible history. Now, the Old Testament illustrates the principles and the doctrine. Doctrine is a fancy word for the word teaching. And the Old Testament illustrates the teachings of the New Testament. And the wonderful thing about the Old Testament is that there are millenniums and hundreds of years, so we get to take a glimpse into people's lives. In the New Testament, it was written about 90 years after Jesus died, and that was it. Then the book of Acts stops, and we as the church continue the works of Jesus. And we are now the living book of Acts in this generation. So we get to take a glimpse in the Old Testament of women that we often don't even get to see in the New Testament. Are you following me? And so since I was a woman pastor and am a woman pastor, all my life I studied women because I wanted to find out, God, where am I in the scheme of things? Because I was always told women can't teach, they can't preach, they can't do this, they can't do that. But that's not what God says. So I like to look at the women in the Old Testament. So I want to tell you a story about a wise woman. This is Mother's Day weekend. And so I want to talk about a woman. Now, but the Bible doesn't give us her name. The Bible just calls her a wise woman. Can I just get a little bit of water? Because I have a really dry mouth. And she's found, thanks. Wow, whatever happened to the table? You know? Okay, so let me tell you. David is king of Israel. How many of you know who David is? All right, David is the king of Israel. And it's from David that the line of Messiah would come. Jesus would come out of his lineage. And David had a son, his name was Absalom. And Absalom rebelled against David and grew a rebellion against his father. And Absalom, when he was a young man, he gathered the troops together, and he gathered Israel's troops together, and Israel anointed him king, and he came against King David, his own son, his own flesh and blood, and he almost won the war, and David's heart was broken. And so the time that we're going to look at this woman is a very, very dangerous time. There's a lot of danger in the air, in the climate. People don't trust each other. David has just won the war. Absalom has been killed, and David is now ascended to the throne once again. But there is still rebellion, and there's the beginning of a division between the 10 tribes of Israel and the 2 tribes of Judah, Benjamin and Judah. David was from the tribe of Judah, and so Judah and Benjamin were close together, but then there were 10 other tribes, and they were starting to gather together. It's not till after David's son Solomon is king and he dies that Israel splits in two. So there's tremendous danger, and we don't live in that time. We don't live in a time of tremendous danger. We live in a time of danger, but not in a time where we would be sliced and diced and our children would be dashed to pieces, and if you were pregnant, your wombs would be ripped open and your babies would be absolutely, completely destroyed. Your daughters would be raped, and you would be killed if you lost that war. We don't live in those kind of times where there's hand-to-hand combat. We live in a time of weapons, and you just pull out your gun and shoot the sucker. But anyway, it was dangerous, and there was a lot of intrigue, and there was a lot of rebellion in the air. And so what happened is there's a man named Sheba, and Sheba is from the 10 tribes. And Sheba decides to rebel against David after Absalom has been killed. And so Sheba rails up against King David, and he calls Israel together, and David has his general, Joab, who is a man of war. I mean, Joab is the kind of man that you don't want to tease. You don't want to have casual conversation with Joab. You don't want to look the wrong way at Joab because he would kill you. He's that kind of a warrior. This is hand-to-hand combat, and these are mean dudes who are surviving and keeping the king on the throne. And so he takes his general, Joab, and he says, I want you to go and find Sheba, because if we don't find Sheba, and if he gets nested in one of the walled cities, then we're going to have worse trouble than we did with Absalom, my son, when he rebelled against us. So that's the climate of all this. And as I was asking the Lord about what to do this morning, I felt like the Lord said, I want you to just talk about this woman and tell the girls this is how you overcome in a time of great crisis. Now, we're going to have trouble in our families, and we're going to have trouble in our world. Trouble comes, whether we want it to or not. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. So I want to just take a glimpse at this woman, this unnamed woman, and I want to look at just four little things quickly. We're not going to take a long time on this. Just that you can put in your belt of learning and your library and your spirit of what the Word of God says. And you can learn from this woman what God is saying about us today in the 21st century. Because I believe God's called his women, his daughters, to diffuse strife. I believe he's called us to gather the families and the tribes together and to bring them together and not pull them apart. I believe that he's put in the heart of his daughters the ability to be peacemakers and to be wise. And we don't have the brawn and the strength that a man has, but we've got the wisdom of God and the discretion of God, because the Bible says that a prudent wife is a gift from the Lord. Now, the word prudent means wise. So when God sets a wife into a household, she is a gift, and God has anointed her with wisdom. And if you read the Proverbs 31 woman, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is a law of kindness. So God has never called us to be rough and mean and aggressive and fighting. He has called us to be a class act. He's called us to be women that in the face of calamity and crisis and real trouble, we are cool and we are calm and we are collected, and we can actually be the instrument that he needs to use to diffuse the strife and to save the family. So I wanted us to have a good time this morning, but this is a bit of a serious message because it's tough times. So Joab has chased Sheba, the rebel. He's chased him all the way to the city. And if you go to 2 Samuel with me, I just want to read this, and then we're going to just get into what she did, because it's just a tiny little story, but I think it's a pretty exciting story. So 2 Samuel, you got your Bibles? If you don't have a Bible, we can just look up on the thing. I think we asked them to put it up on the overhead. And so I'm going to be reading out of verse 14 in chapter 20. Now, it says, and he went through all the tribes of Israel. That's talking about Joab, the general. Now, they're mad, and they're at war, and they're going to find Sheba, this rebellious upstart. And he went through all the tribes of Israel to Abel and Beth-Maacah, and all the Barites. So they were gathered together and also went after Sheba. And they came and besieged him in Abel of Beth-Maacah. So Sheba has run to this city named Abel, and it's in the territory of Beth-Maacah. And they cast up a siege mound against the city, and it stood by the rampart, and all the people who were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. So here is this army of David now with Joab. They've already put down Absalom. They are mad as men can get, and they are ready to tear this wall down and destroy this city to get to Sheba, because he is causing another rebellion that they cannot live through. And so they've got the battering rams, they've got the army, all these cities were walled for protection, and they are tearing down the wall. Are you with me? Now you kind of wonder what the people inside the city are doing. So this is where it gets interesting. Verse 16, then a wise woman, don't you love that? God doesn't give us her name, but he says a wise woman cried out from the city, here, here. Please say to Joab, come nearby that I might speak with you. So she reaches out over the walled city with all of these warriors down there, and she says, hey, hey, go get your general Joab. I need to talk to him. Now, you kind of wonder what everybody else is doing, but there's a woman leaning over the wall shouting at the warriors. And when, verse 17, and when he had come near to her, so they go and they get Joab. The woman said, are you Joab? He answered, I am. Then she said to him, hear the words of your maidservant. And he said, I'm listening. And so she spoke, saying, they used to talk in former times, saying that they shall surely seek guidance at Abel, and so they would end all disputes. I am among the peaceable and the faithful in Israel. You seek to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why would you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? And Joab answered her, and he said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. That is not so, but a man from the mountains of Ephraim. Sheba, the son of Bichri by name, has raised his hand against the king, against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And so the woman said to Joab, watch, his head will be thrown to you over the wall. Then the woman, in her wisdom, went to all the people, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and threw it out to Joab. Then he blew a trumpet, and they withdrew from the city, every man to his tent. So Joab returned to the king at Jerusalem. Now, is that a story? You go, girl. You know, there's a whole city full of men, and no men are leaning over, and this is not man bashing. But this is a woman's Bible study. And sometimes we get so intimidated. And I think God wants to say something to us. So here's this woman, not a man, yelling, hey, hey, go get him. Go get your general. I got to talk to him. And so Joab shows up. Are you Joab? Well, yeah, I'm Joab. What does it look like? And she says, why are you trying to kill us? And why are you trying to take out a mother in Israel? We are known for our wisdom. Everybody knows this city. Everybody knows that if you have a problem, if you have a dispute, it's like the Supreme Court. You can go to Abel and there's going to be wise people there to figure out your problem and help you out. And you're trying to take out the city. And you're trying to kill me, a mother in Israel. Why are you doing this? What's wrong with you, boy? That took some guts. And he tells her what's going on, and she says, well, we got an answer for that. Wait here. I'm going to throw his head over the wall. So this woman goes back to all of the leaders. Remember, everybody's huddling somewhere, right? This is a walled city with the gates shut, and they're being besieged. It's a war going on. So the men are somewhere, so this woman goes and finds them. She tells them what's going on. She convinces them that if they just cut off Sheba's head, now Sheba's got his troops there too, so they're in danger inside the city. If they can just cut off his head, then the city's going to be saved. And moments later, all you hear is that the head's being thrown out over the wall, and everybody's saved. What a story. I tell you, I think God gets a kick out of using his women in a really hard place. If we can just stay calm, and if we can listen and know who we are. So I just want to look at just four little things this morning, and we're going to close with this. This woman had the courage to confront. She had the patience to listen. She had the wisdom to speak, and she had the ability to influence, pull the trigger, and get the job done. Now listen, I believe God's saying something to us as his women in this time and this age. He needs us not to be afraid, but to be courageous. And it takes courage to confront. It takes courage when everybody's in an upheaval, when things aren't right, when the family's split apart, when one's not talking to another, when there's war in the camp of your family, when there's war in the camp of your business, when there's war in the camp of wherever you are, to be the peacemaker and not just not say anything, but end up, you know, just shovel it under the rug, shovel the dirt under the rug. No, God isn't telling us to put our heads in the sand and pretend like it's not there. God's saying, I need you to be who you're supposed to be, a woman of God, a princess in the kingdom of God, a wise woman, and confront the issue head on. Some of you are intimidated. Some of you are just not confrontational women. Now, I'm not telling you to get in their face and move your hands and put your finger in their face. She didn't do that. She simply had the courage to confront Joab, and then she had the wisdom to listen. Because it takes wisdom to shut up and to listen to the other side of the story. She had her side, but Joab had his side, and she had no idea why they were trying to take out that city. She had to find out. And it says in Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. God woke me up about 2 days ago. And he said to me, your problem is you're not letting your spirit rule. Everything else in your life is ruling you right now. Because I'm trying to lose weight because I put on about 10 pounds during Christmas. I wanted to be Mrs. Claus, and I baked a lot of cookies for my 12 grandkids, and I ate them all. So everything's tight on me. I can't get into anything. And I'm just trying to lose 10 pounds, you know. And when you're 64, almost 65, that's not an easy thing to do because your body just wants to hold on to the fat. I can't even get into my girdles. That's how fat I've gotten. Can we just be honest and have fun? Can we just talk as girls? Because we are anyway, so we might as well just get real. So the Lord woke me up and said, you're letting your flesh rule your spirit. And then he reminded me that my spirit is born again. It has the Holy Spirit residing in me, and that all the resources of heaven are at my beck and call, but I have to rule my own spirit because I am my biggest enemy. And so when you and I begin to step back from the flesh and let the spirit rule, then we're going to begin to walk into what God needs us to walk into and be the peacemakers and the reconcilers that he needs us to be. So she who rules her spirit is mightier than he who takes a city. So if you can rule your own flesh, if you can rule your own emotions, if you can learn how to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, learn how to shut up those voices in your head and in your heart that tell you all this foolishness and all this lies that the devil wants to tell you, if you can learn to tell it to shut up and not let that bad talk overwhelm you, but talk yourself into what God says you are and what God says your family can be and what God wants to do with the situation, then you've begun to start to rule your spirit. All this foolish self-talk, and you know what I'm talking about. You talk to yourselves all the time, and you're hearing a million voices. God only knows what's in there. Poor Jimmy never knows who he's going to wake up with. So she had the courage to confront, and she had the wisdom to listen. It says in Proverbs that there's always two sides to every story. In Proverbs 18:17, in the New Living Translation, it says, the first to speak in court sounds right, until the cross-examination begins. There will always be two sides to every story. Whether we are watching riots in Baltimore, whether we're looking at a political year, whether we are looking at the police, whether we are looking at the gangs, whether we're looking at this or that, there will always be two sides to every story. And God knows them both, and that's why we need to have the courage to confront, and we need to have the wisdom to listen, because if you haven't heard the other side, then you are only half right, and you could be very wrong in your judgment and your decision. And so we have to be like this woman and have the wisdom to listen. So she listened to what Joab said. Not only did she listen, but I meant the patience to listen, because sometimes you want your way to be the only way. Does anybody try to talk their husbands into things? No, really, do you? Man, I try to talk Jim into so many things. I used to be able to talk him into more things than now. After 37 years, he's not listening as well as he used to. He's got notches on his listening belt, and he says, no, we've been there before. We have to have the patience to listen to the other side, even when we don't agree. So in a family feud, in a family fight, in a situation at the office where there are two sides, listen to the other side. And then have, number three, the wisdom to speak. Because God will give you wisdom. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And once she heard what was going on, she said, this is not going to be a problem. I will take care of this. And then she had to have the ability, and she had to have the ability to influence the people in her city, because she had to talk them into taking off Sheba's head. I don't know what that entailed. I don't know how much he had there in the city. I don't know how many warriors were with him. He wasn't alone. That I know. It says he and his troops went into that city. So I don't know what it took for them to take the courage to get that man, arrest him, take him to a chopping block, and off goes his head before you could even count to 10. You know, in America, he'd be on death row for the next 35 years. But back then, the justice was off with his head, period. And the next scene is Joab watching this head fly over the wall, and he leaves. So what does it mean? It means you've got, number one, the courage to confront. You've got the patience to listen. You've got the wisdom to speak. And you've got the discipline to follow through with what you need to follow through with. Courage to confront. Say that with me. Courage to confront. You don't need to be intimidated by evil or fear. God hasn't called us to walk in fear. He's called us to walk by faith. And if he's put you in that situation, then he wants you to be a peacemaker, and he wants to use you to reconcile two parties that aren't together. Number two, the patience to listen. You may hear what you don't want to hear. Maybe you're going to hear the other side of the story that you don't agree with or that you've never heard in your life. But we need to hear both sides because God says there's two sides to every story, and he hears them both. Number three, you've got to have the wisdom to speak. The wisdom of God, the law of kindness is in her tongue. When we speak and we have counsel to give, if we think before we speak, we're going to be peacemakers. If you let your emotions run away with you, you're not going to be like this woman, and you're not going to save anything. You're going to make it worse. Listen, God made us to influence. Adam didn't have a wife. God knew he didn't have a wife. He knew what was going to happen when Adam got a wife. And so he made Adam a wife, and he pulled the woman out of the man. And what God took out of man, man cannot get back unless a woman is in his life. That's how it is. That's creation. And he gave the wife as a gift to the man so they would be one like the Godhead is one. And so when this woman was created, she was created to be his helpmeet, his ezer kenego. That means that she was to surround him with aid and assistance. She would be like a military, strong defense with him when there were problems, because that's what ezer kenego means. Seven times it's listed in the Old Testament. And of those times, it's talking about God as a warrior. So if you think you're just a wimpy little woman that's just supposed to push her way around and that's the only way to get things done, we're absolutely missing what God is saying. In our creation role, we were given the assignment by God to surround men with aid and assistance and to be their helpmeet, our husbands. So that means that when you have to open your mouth, if you will listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, and if you'll stay in the Word of God, you'll hear the voice of God, and you'll be able to open your mouth and speak with wisdom like she did. And when you speak with wisdom, now men are going to stop and listen because you're not crying. You're not emotional. Does anybody have men in their lives where you start to cry and that is it? Am I the only one that has tough guys? I'm married to a tough guy. Is anybody married to tough men in here? Does anybody have tough fathers or tough brothers? Are we in the same planet? We rule not by manipulation, but through wisdom. And God says, if you will just listen, and if you will speak with wisdom, and then use your influence and go get it done. Sometimes you just got to pull the trigger and make things happen. And some of you don't like to pull triggers. You know what I mean by pulling the trigger? Making a decision and just living with it and carrying it through to its fruition. She heard what happened. She made a decision, she went and she influenced the city, and within moments or minutes or an hour or so, off flies a head across the wall, and that city was saved. So today, on Mother's Day week, God, isn't this a story? When there's trouble, when there's crisis, when there's bad news, when things are coming at you and you don't have any reason why, stop. Confront the issue. Confront it with God. Listen patiently to what he's going to say to you. Maybe he'll use a friend. Maybe he'll use a husband or a loved one or a child. Maybe he'll use a pastor or a church. But you're going to hear maybe the other side of what you don't want to hear. But listen with patience. And then when you've heard, ask God what to do. And he says that he will give you wisdom. If any one of you are in a trial and you don't know what to do, in James chapter 1, it says, ask of God. Ask for wisdom. And he will not make fun of you. He'll not slap you upside the head because you should know what to do and you don't. It says that he will listen and he will give you wisdom, but you got to ask in faith, knowing that God wants this situation rectified more than you want it rectified. And when he tells you what to do, then go and do what you are made to do, which is to influence, not to evil, but to good. There was an unrighteous rebellion that needed to be dealt with and swiftly, or Israel was going to fall apart. And if Israel fell apart, there would never be the Masonic line that would come through and the plan of God would be brought forth. You have no idea what God's plan is for your families. You have no idea what the enemy is trying to do to disrupt those plans and to stop and abort those plans. And don't kid yourself, little girl. You are in that family, and you are there for purpose and for God's purposes. And he wants to use you in a mighty way. But you're going to have to, number one, have the courage to confront. Don't sweep it under the rug. have the patience to listen, have the wisdom to speak, and then pull that trigger and do what you have to do to make this thing happen according to the word of God, not with evil, but with good. That's all I have to say.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.